This evening, as we come to our time to study God's Word together, I want to invite you to open your Bible with me, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1 tonight. And when you've found James 1, I'm going to invite you to follow along as I read verses 1 down through verse 12. They're very familiar verses to us. But follow along as I read. James writes, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. But when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Tonight I want to share a few practical thoughts with you that have been a special blessing to me over the years. And I trust that these thoughts are ones that we will be happy to be reminded of. Before we go ahead and look at this any further, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together tonight in the study of His Word. Father, we come and ask you now that as we come before thee and before thy word, that the Spirit of God would teach us and guide us in the truth. That, Lord, we would learn how to live in a way that is pleasing to you and that is beneficial to our own hearts and lives. So, Father, we pray tonight that these truths, these verses, will become very practical to us as we live for you in these days. So, Lord, I'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us have to face the reality that life is not filled with the good and plenty. All of us have to face the reality that there will be disappointments and there will be heartaches. Although we all enter into life with the hopes and expectations that in this life we will experience only those things that bring us happiness and fulfillment, the reality is that's not what life is filled with. Life is not always the good and the plenty. There are those days of despair and those days of difficulty, and there are days of great disappointment. I'm reminded in the book of Job that we are told that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Solomon would say it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he cometh forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return, and go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All of his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. You know, the Bible tells us that there are days of trouble. There are days of trial. There are days of disappointment. If you look up the word disappointment, it can be defined this way. The feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. You know, we have disappointments and they come to us through many varied means. Sometimes we have disappointments with regards to our home life. Sometimes there are disappointments because of struggles at work. The reality is that we have disappointments within the church. We have disappointments in the things that we think will bring us great pleasure, those hobbies and things that we do for fun, and yet they still bring to us great disappointments. In any area of life where we have expectations of good, there is always the potential for disappointments, and we all face disappointments. All of us will struggle with how to deal with the hurts that come because of these disappointments. I was reading today this story. In 1858, Abraham Lincoln was dealt a disappointing blow of not being sent to the Senate by the state of Illinois, even though he had won the popular vote, simply because the Illinois legislature decided that they would invoke an obscure statute that would send his opponent to the Senate instead. Obviously, it was a great disappointment for the young man. And one asked Mr. Lincoln how he felt about the decision, and Mr. Lincoln responded, "Like a boy who stubbed his toe, I'm too big to cry and too badly hurt to laugh." We all have to face disappointments. And with that reality before us, the question is, how do we as a believer deal with the disappointments that certainly will come into our life? James chapter 1 is going to give us some help in that realm of dealing with the disappointments that come. And there are four thoughts that I want us to consider together from this passage. And I trust that there'll be a help to you as they've been to me over the years. And these are things that I have to remind myself often because of the disappointments that we often face. But James chapter 1, look again with me if you would, beginning in verse 2 and 3. James writes and says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." How would you like to have James as your counselor? How would you like to have James as your friend? We all face disappointments, don't we? We all have to deal with heartaches and hurts. And how do we deal with such disappointments? Well, James begins to write to that very subject, and he begins this way: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now, those aren't the words that you would expect someone to say who is trying to encourage you. But you know, those are needful words. Those are important words because they're going to help us have a right perspective, because there is an enemy, the devil, who is seeking to lay snares in our path that he is seeking to devour and destroy. And we need this perspective. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." These words are to help us avoid the pitfalls that the enemy is setting. No, Peter reminds us that we do have that adversary, the devil, who walks about as a lion seeking to devour us as prey. But James teaches us that God intends even for the trial to be for our good. So, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Here's the first thought I want us to see tonight. As we face the disappointments of life, whether they be in the home, whether they be at work, whether they be in personal goals that we have set, whether they be in areas of our finances, whether it be in the church, whether it be simply in our hobbies, whatever it might be in, if we face disappointments, here's how we need to respond. Number one, we need to see the good that God is doing through the trial. And that's what James is trying to teach us. "My brethren, count it all joy." That word "count's" an interesting word. It literally means this: consider or judge. You and I need to consider the trial, and we are to judge it as joy. Is that what you think of first when you come to a disappointment? Oh, I'm so glad God brought this into my life. That's not usually how we respond, is it? That's what James is saying, though. My brethren, count it all joy. When we face a disappointment, we have a responsibility to stop, to consider and see the good that God is seeking to bring through that disappointment, through that trial. We are to count it all joy. But then he says, we count that all joy when we fall into. Those words there, fall into, means to be encompassed with or surrounded by. Ever feel that way? Ever feel like you're just drowning in disappointment? That the burden is too heavy to bear? All you want to do is maybe just get alone and cry because you just don't see a way out? That's exactly what James is referring to. Count it all joy when you fall into, become encompassed by, surrounded by these diverse, varied temptations and troubles and trials that come your way. We're to count it all joy. When you and I are encompassed about with the various trials of life, we are called upon to endure the disappointments of life. Our expectations are gone. But we are then called upon to consider it, to judge it as joy. How can we do that? Why would we do that? Verse 3. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then he's going to go on to tell us that patience needs to have her perfect work, that you can be perfect and entire, want nothing. Know what the point is? God is at work. Why can we consider it joy, judge it to be joy, even when we face the disappointments of life? Because God is seeking to produce good through the trial. You know what? We're very good, are we not, at helping someone see clearly in their trial or disappointment. Right? A friend of yours goes through a disappointment and we are quick to say what verse with them? You know it. Romans 8:28. You know all things work together for good to them who love God. And we put our arm around them. We're praying for you, brother. You know what we can't do? We can't consider that ourselves when we're in the midst of our own disappointment and our own heartache. But you know, Romans 8:28 is still in operation today. God is still working all things together for good. And we need to learn to see the good that God is doing. Disappointment leads to discouragement and despair when we fail to see the good that God wants to accomplish. If you and I fail to see the good that God wants to do, then we're going to become discouraged and we're going to be led into despair. But folks, can I remind you of this truth? God's greatest concern for your life and mine is not your ease and not your comfort. God's greatest concern in your life and mine is our character, our Christ-likeness. Say, Pastor, where do you get that from? Romans 8:28 is followed by verse 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What's verse 29 say? That's right. He has predestinated us that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. Some big words in verse 29 that simply means this: God has predetermined His will for your life, and that is to be like Christ. All things are working together for good. And if we're going to handle the disappointments well, we need to see the good that God is doing through the trial. But there's a second thought that James points out in verse 3 and 4. And that is, we are to search out the God-ordained purpose for the trial. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If God is seeking to do us good, and He is, If God is seeking to do us good, then we must also conclude that every disappointment is designed by Him and it has a purpose behind it. God desires to bring about true lasting change in your life and mine. He desires to make us mature. You know how God does that? Well, the Bible tells me He does it through His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives me His Word. Through His Word, I am made mature. I am made more like Christ. But you know, God also has designed to use trials to perfect the man. And that's what James is exhorting us here in verse 3 and 4. Trials produce within us patience, and we must let patience do its part in making us perfect. Job said it this way, "When He has tried me, I'll come forth as pure gold." We have to be looking for the purpose that God has for us, even in our disappointment. When you and I face disappointment, we should learn to ask God to show us His purpose in these things and to count it all joy, knowing that He is working in us. You're going to face them. You may face more disappointments this week. You're going to set expectations throughout the summer. Something's not going to go the way you wanted it to go. You're going to face a disappointment. How do we go through disappointments? We need to learn to see the good. And we need to seek or search for the purpose that God has even in the midst of that. Number 3, verses 5 through 8 tell us to seek the necessary help to endure our trials. We should be seeking the necessary help to endure the trial. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James tells us if we obtain the right perspective, we're going to understand that every trial reveals within us a specific need. Even in a trial and disappointment that we face, it's going to reveal some things to us. At times, a trial reveals a problem within our character, like selfishness. You ever gone through something, you've faced a disappointment, and when you get through it, you sit back and go, why did I face it that way? You know what it just revealed? It revealed a problem within your character and mine that we need to become more like Christ. But sometimes, those trials, those disappointments also reveal to us something that we need. And James points out we need wisdom. We tend to think that we're rather self-sufficient. We can handle things on our own. We've got all the solutions to all the problems. We figured out life. And you know what God does sometimes? He brings a trial in our life and says, you know what you need? You need wisdom. There's a need within our life and God reveals it to us. James says, sometimes we need wisdom. James' counsel to us is this, if you lack, then ask. In the midst of this disappointment, in the midst of the trial that we face, if we understand that we are lacking, whether within our character or there's a need within our life that we can't meet, then let us learn to ask and let us ask in faith. Not wavering, but believing that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God can supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. Let's ask in faith. Not be a double-minded man, for that's unstable in all of our ways. James says, learn to ask. I want to take a few moments, though, and consider what James refers to. James says, if any of you lack wisdom. I want to consider that for a moment. Trials often reveal the need for wisdom. Wisdom, by the way, is the ability to skillfully apply the knowledge that you and I have already gained. You know, the reality is most of us, having been saved for a long period of time, it's not that we lack knowledge to help in the midst of our disappointment. The problem is we lack the wisdom. We've already kind of mentioned this tonight. When someone else goes through a trial or a difficulty, we know what verses to share with them. But we struggle to apply it within our own heart and our own life. Now, I face my disappointment, and I can't seem to get a right perspective. I can't seem to get out of the hole. We feel like David, I'm in that miry pit and that miry clay. And I just need someone to pick me up and set me on solid ground, because we can't gain our own perspective, but we want to tell everyone else how they're supposed to live. What that reveals is a lack of wisdom. Wisdom is that ability to take the knowledge that we've already obtained and put it into practice within our life. We're facing a disappointment. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with our own heartaches? We need to deal with them according to the Word of God. We need wisdom. God is able and willing to give us wisdom. As I was thinking about that thought this afternoon, I was reminded of this truth. The Lord Jesus promised his disciples before he left that when he leaves, he would send a comforter. And that comforter would guide us in all truth. You know that you and I have everything that we need within our own heart to deal with every disappointment that comes, because the Spirit of God lives within. And he will guide you and guide me in the truth of his word. He wrote it. He knows what it's there. He knows the power thereof. And he will guide you in the truth. We need to come and ask for that wisdom. Lord, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm just really down. Things have not been going my way. Things have been really hard. Lord, we need that wisdom. You say, Pastor, sometimes we do those kind of things. We ask and we don't seem to still get some. Well, then don't be too proud to go to someone else and say, can you help me for a while? Get a little bit of wisdom. Can you help? Come with me. Sit down with me. Help me through the Bible. Let's get this together, because we want to get the victory. Folks, God wants to do that. If we're going to deal with disappointment, we have to see the good that God is doing through the trial. We have to search out his ordained purpose and seek the necessary help to endure the trial. But then I want you to see this final thought with me. In the midst of our disappointments, we need to learn to serve in light of that which is eternal. That's really the focus of verses 9 through 12. I want to just read verse 12 again. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What James wants us to understand is, in the midst of the disappointments, we need to continue to serve in light of that which is eternal. We become disappointed when our expectations, our hopes are not met. And folks, those are often earthly and understandable. We have earthly expectations. We have hopes in this world. We need to. We live in this world. But when those expectations are not met and it leads to disappointment, we need to learn to rise above the disappointment and live in the realm of that which is eternal. And continue to serve the Lord in light of that which is eternal. We ought to live with eternity's values in view. And verse 12 plainly tells us that those who endure and remain faithful to the Lord will receive a reward. Every disappointment needs to be viewed from an eternal perspective. Warren Wiersbe, in a commentary that I was reading for another message, made this point, and I thought it was well said. I don't agree with everything about Dr. Wiersbe and his stance and positions, but sometimes he says things very well. And I think he does so here. He says, if we walk by sight and view God through the problems, we will fail. Like the Jews at Kadesh Barnea. But if we look at the problems through the greatness of God, we will have confidence and succeed. That is the approach David took with Goliath. Did you catch that? In the midst of your disappointments, you have two ways to view it. You can view God through your problems, and you're going to fail. Or you can view your problems through the eyes of God's greatness and have a heavenly perspective. That's why when David saw Goliath, yeah, he's tall. He's pretty ugly, but he's going to die. Yet all of Israel looked at him and said, "We cannot defeat that foe." David, the shepherd boy, said, "He's no problem for God. He is but a little man. He deserves to die for his blasphemy of my God. My God is great, and Goliath is small." The children of Israel came to the brink of the promised land. And 10 spies said, "There is no way we can enter in and conquer that land. There are giants in the land." Joshua and Caleb said, "But look at the fruit. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Our God is able. Let's go in to possess the land." But the people said, "Oh no. That problem is too great and God is not big enough." They died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land one day, 40 years later. Joshua took the people, went right to Jericho and said, "Walk around the walls with me, and in 7 days you're going to see it fall flat." And the victory was theirs. How are we going to view the problems of life? Well, James says we ought to serve in light of that which is eternal, remembering that God will reward us one day. What a blessing that is. Brethren, we all face disappointments. But those disappointments never need to lead us to despair and discouragement. There's a way to handle every disappointment that life throws our way. You and I were born under trouble, but God always provides a way of escape, and He supplies for our every need. I hope you believe that. James chapter 1 is familiar to us. We might be able to go around the room tonight and probably just start at James chapter 1, and we could probably quote them together. We're so familiar with those passages in the New Testament like this one. Yet I trust that we would understand that when we face disappointments, we need to see the good that God is doing through the trials. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God wants to do good. Search out the God-ordained purpose. That patience needs to have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Seek the necessary help. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. By the way, He giveth to all men liberally. He does not upbraid one. God doesn't mock us when we come to Him and say, "Lord, I need wisdom." "Well, you fool, of course you need wisdom." He didn't say that to us. He supplies our every need. And then we need to learn to live and serve in light of that which is eternal. Learn to see our problems through the eyes of the greatness of our God and not view our God through the problems that we face. It's the perspective that we need, that we can deal with disappointments because they will come. You may have faced them already this week. They may come still in days to come. God hasn't promised us no disappointments in this life, but He's promised us the help that we need to deal with every disappointment that life throws our way. Our God provides a way of escape, and He supplies our every need. Let's pray together as we close. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time in Your Word. We thank You for the book of James. Such a practical book. Such wonderful lessons that are given to us. And Lord, I ask and pray that You would help each and every one to learn to deal with the disappointments that come. Lord, we all face them. Some are greater than others. Some disappointments we can easily push aside because we almost expected it. But some deal to us a great blow. And they hurt so much. Yet, Father, Your Word tells us how to deal with them. And Lord, I pray that we would see the good and seek Your purpose. That we would serve You in light of that which is to come. And Father, when we just don't know how we can continue on, may we seek that help by asking You in prayer, by faith believing. And you will answer according to thy perfect will. We thank you, Father, for all these things that you give to us. We thank you for your love and goodness. Father, we come before you seeking your help in these days. Father, as we close tonight, our heart is ever heavy towards the Stokes and the Butler family. Lord, we know that these are difficult days, hard days, when one that we love has departed from this life. But Lord, we thank you that Olive is in your presence, Lord, tonight. She has seen her Savior face to face. Her hopes, her expectations have been met. And Lord, I pray that you would allow this next few days to be an encouragement and a help to her family, to her children, her grandchildren, her brothers and sisters, Lord, the extended family as well, to our church family. Lord, we will miss her, but Lord, we know that she is with you, and for that we do rejoice. Father, we do ask and pray that if there's one who knows not Jesus Christ as their Savior, that through the events of the next few days, that they would see their need and call upon him. And Lord, that you'd answer the prayer of our dear sister Olive that she prayed for so long. And we'll thank you and praise you now. Lord, give us safety as we go our way. And Lord, bring us back together on Sunday for our continued fellowship and worship here in this church. And we'll commit it unto you now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.